Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Depth Chart Podcast. My name is Freddie Maggard. I'm joined by Nick Roush in Louisville, Andy Murray in Northern Kentucky. Gentlemen, it is a newsy morning, especially, Nick, where you're located. It seems like the University of Louisville never quits being in the news. Yesterday, it looked like AD Vince Tyree, or Tyree, however you say his name?
Tyree, yeah.
Tyree was headed to Florida State, and everybody was mad at the president. Now looks like the president's headed to Penn State. Tyree may stay, may not stay. Nick, can you just fill us in? Because I'm exhausted from it all.
I mean, imagine just being a Louisville fan. It'd be even worse.
Listen, I feel bad for them. I do. I mean, they've been through a lot, man, and it never ends for them. So,
no, go ahead. And that's the thing, too, is even something normal, like, you know, administrators get new jobs all the time. They can't even do that normally. So,
yeah.
Neely Bindipudi was brought in to be the president, and Vince Tyree was brought in to be the AD. They were supposed to clean up the mess left by Jurich and Ramsey. And at the first kind of bump in the road, it was like Chris Mack and, you know, just another casual extortion attempt on the college basketball coach. They have some differences, and then all of a sudden, Bindipudi and Tyree, they just don't get along anymore. So Tyree's trying to get out the door. Well, Neely's like, not if I get out the door first. So we're getting a little switcheroo where he thought Tyree was leaving for Florida State, Bindipudi was staying. Now Bindipudi, she's on her way to Penn State now, and Tyree might just be like, oh, well, she's gone. I think I'm going to stay now. So things are crazy. They're changing all the time, and the poor folks that are cheering for the Cards, they're kind of suffering for it.
I'm not real close to the situation, but I've known Vince since middle school and played at Trinity with him. He played basketball. I played some basketball. He was great in baseball. Went to UK. I actually went to UK based on what I learned about the athletic department and the sports and everything at UK through Vince. So I actually stayed with them on some unofficial visits and things like that in Kerwin One, and we ran with the same crowd in high school. And I can't imagine that guy leaving Louisville for Florida State. So with her gone, I fully anticipate Tyree staying. But then there's also people that don't want Tyree to stay. So, but I think that dumpster fire he inherited, you have to – I mean, there was so much going on there. You've got all the bonding issues with the Yum Center. I mean, that's a financial train wreck, and it would take somebody with some financial know-how to get them out of some of that mess. And I don't understand the bonding issues on Yum, but that whole thing is just a disaster. And I think the president's running for cover, if I had to guess. And she's obviously not an athletic person and doesn't want any part of the athletics. So that's just my take. I think Tyree – he's either going to not be an AD and stay in Louisville, or he'll be the AD. He's not going to Florida State. He's got too much going on in Louisville.
Yeah, well, the thing about Tyree that I like is he's always been transparent. I mean, he's not avoided or dodged the media, and we've not heard from anybody. You know, again, it's their business, not mine, but it's just a strange goings on there. In the biggest city of Kentucky, you know, and it just, I don't know. I know it's a rivalry, but listen, they're still Kentuckians, you know what I mean? I think those fans deserve better than what they've been getting here, and it's just an odd situation. But,
Jurich gave him a lot to be, I don't want to say proud of, a lot to cheer about, you know, But Jurich had his way of doing business that was, you know, after the dust settled, it was almost mafia-like. And, yeah. You know, that's the part of it that, you know, the fan, but at the end of the day, the fan is the one that's left holding the bag. I mean, that's what sucks about it. It's just, they are the ones holding the bag, and they're the ones that, you know, they're not going to feel, I mean, they got out of there so fast last weekend, just out of sheer embarrassment, you know? I mean, that was an embarrassing performance. And then, you know, sorry to hear the news on Satterfield's father and all the things that came out after that. I mean, I can't imagine trying to coach a football game, especially against my rival, you know, just finding out my father had passed. I mean, that's, my hat's off to the guy for keeping it under his hat and not telling his players and not telling his coaches and going out there and giving it his best shot. But at the end of the day, it was a terrible performance by a fan base that's used to giving us a game over the years and pummeling us on occasion. It's got to be hard.
It also speaks to the consistency that Mitch Barnhart has given Kentucky fans. Now, this is something I really do care about. And you know, he re-signed Mark Stoops to an extension, which is makes a lot of people happy.
Mm-hmm.
And because Mark Stoops, let's just face it, for the first time in my life, the football coach is more popular with the fans at Kentucky than the basketball coach. And the fans wanted Mark Stoops, and Mitch Barnhart provided. I know there's a segment out there that don't like the checkerboard, you know. And if that's the one thing that we have to complain about in an athletic department, Mitch Barnhart has been good for a very long time. He's made some excellent hires. He's also had bad hires. All ADs do that. But he's been around a long time, and he's provided a lot of facilities upgrades. Kentucky's the only school in America that's ranked in football, basketball, and women's basketball. Mitch Barnhart has been a great athletics director at Kentucky, and he has been a beacon of consistency that now you see the mess going on down I-64. I hope people can appreciate Mitch a little bit more.
You know, the thing about Mitch, his personality probably rubs people because he's not your everyday BBN kind of guy, and that's, you know, he caught some flack for the alcohol situation at Commonwealth and all those kinds of things. But that's not Mitch's MO. But if you look back at the history of Mitch Barnhart, I mean, he took over a Jurich dumpster-esque fire himself. I mean, that UK's athletic department was in shambles when he took over. And my hat's off to the guy. Granted, you know, He's kind of a quirky personality, and he's not one to stand around at the bar at the hotel during the bowl week and all that kind of stuff that the BBN fans want. But at the end of the day, man, you can't put up anybody against his numbers. I mean, I don't know what the financials look like, but I can only imagine the financials are robust and the teams are winning on all levels. They're graduating kids. You don't hear a lot of, you know, this summer is really one of the first summers we've had where we've had any kind of disruption as far as, you know, character and all that kind of stuff. And that panned out for us, but guy's pretty solid. Really solid.
I mean, I love the guy. I know Mitch. I love the dude as a person. I think he's a great man, and he's just a fantastic, consistent leader. And you know, Andy, I know a little bit about leadership with my background, and when you're in charge, be in charge, and Mitch is in charge, and he makes decisions. And you know, that's refreshing. It's refreshing if you look around, you know, look around the country. Clemson's AD is – look at the Miami situation, look at the Louisville situation and others. I mean, it's good to have somebody in charge of the department that, while not all of his decisions are popular, but you know somebody is making decisions. And that's something that's not occurring – on many campuses across the country, Nick Roush is somebody that is actually in charge making decisions, and at least they are consistent decisions.
Yeah. And I get frustrated with his decisions more than anybody, especially with the alcohol stuff. Like, come on, we're adults. We can drink beer. We're responsible enough. But the big picture, all of those gripes come with the caveat of stability is much better than the instability. the trust that Barnhart's in place with his coaches. I mean, he's going to hire arguably the greatest coach in either sport, in the, either of the major sports, all while making sure the Olympic sports have a leg up. The facilities are top notch now. They compete with the best of the best of the best. Hell, the volleyball team just won a national title, you know? So, I mean, things are well right now in Lexington. And to go back to your point, I mean, like, I feel for, you know, my wife, she's a U of L grad, and she wants them to just be normal again, you know? And she's excited to go watch their volleyball team play today. They got an undefeated volleyball team, right? Number one in the nation, but you can't even really get excited about it because you're wondering who's even in charge over there, who's calling the shots. And I just don't know where the end is. I don't know where the end in sight is. I hope it does soon, because it's more fun when there's some back and forth. It's more fun when Louisville thinks they can win the football game or win the basketball game. You know, it's more fun when there's some back and forth, back when Patino and Cal were going at it, or, you know, Charlie Strong, like, it, there's some really good stuff. And it's just, it's frustrating that they seemingly can't even do a change of administrators without it turning into some four alarm fire.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's move on. Again, it's a mess. Kentucky's playing Iowa in the Citrus Bowl. I like the matchup X and O wise. And I also like the fact, Andy, that I think, you know, bowl games for me, I think is 75% who wants to be there, 25% execution. I think Iowa and Kentucky both want to – will both want to be there, and we'll see a competitive game, Stoops. I think Kentucky is competitive, wants to win this football game for the head coach, Mark Stoops, his tie to Iowa, plus the 10th win is out there. Iowa, you're always going to get effort from a Kurt Ferentz team. They are who they are. Less than 300 yards total offense. They're not going to – wow you with any kind of schematic craziness when they have the football. Best center in college football, Tyler Linderbaum, a quarterback that completes 50% of his passes, really good tight ends, good offensive line, good defense, top 10 defense, really good special teams, but not a lot that scares you offensively. Andy, what do you think about this matchup with Iowa in the Citrus Bowl?
You know, the Big Ten to me is, you know, the SEC is physical, but the Big Ten, you know, the SEC fans want to say that, you know, SEC is better than the Big Ten and that kind of thing. But I think they're both, in their regard, their style in that league is physical, run it down. You know, think about half of their season is played in terrible weather, and they got to run the football. They got to be physical. It probably affects everybody's numbers up there in the league. And I think we're going to see, from what we saw in the Louisville game, it looks like we can score the football now at will at times. And I don't see them scoring with us, but I do see them trying to jam it down our throat a little bit. And it should be a great football game. You know, we'll give predictions later, but I'm not concerned about the game. I'm actually very excited because they finished second in the Big Ten. We finished with the third best record in the SEC. And it's a statement game for the Cats. I think it's a statement game for Stoops. He recruits that area. Well, he doesn't recruit Iowa, but he recruits the upper Midwest pretty heavy. And it's a humongous game for Kentucky football.
The to your point, Andy, I think you're right. Where when it's strength on strength, then you look at what's the kind of tertiary, what's next. And that's the kind of quarterback play from Will Levis. Kirk Ferentz said, you know, they wanted Levis. They were his first Power 5 offer. They didn't get him. They haven't had great quarterback play. And if I'm reading this correctly, they've scored 2 offensive touchdowns or less in 9 of 11 games against Power 5 teams. So go score 3 touchdowns and you got a good chance of winning.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. 100%. Who do you think – who are the players – Nick, do you think Kentucky will go 100% as far as eligible players in this football game?
If John Summerall isn't opting out to be a head coach at another school,
yeah.
I mean, I can't even – is Kelvin Joseph the only opt-out in the entire Stoops era? So, yeah.
Yes.
I think even, I mean, hell, Wandell, he would be the only option, but he's never played in a bowl game. I'm sure he wants to play, you know? So I think we're going to ultimately end up getting 100% participation. Nope, oh, we lost Freddie, Andy.
I think these bowl games for Stoops and where we are with Stoops in this program and him sticking with us and players sticking with him, it says so much about his culture that these kids are not rushing to the door to get out of here. And when you have a coach that's just fulfilled a life dream to be a head coach, is going to stick around and coach, I don't think there needs to be anything else said about Mark Stoops and what he has built for our football program. It gives me goosebumps to think that guy's staying to coach, and we haven't heard any inklings of any kids wanting to leave other than some of the kids getting in the transfer portal. And that's a whole nother conversation. And that's a personal situation, but from a standpoint of our culture and why kids want to be here and even coaches want to stay is just off the charts.
I agree. I think John Sumrall returning to coach this football game says so much, not only about him, but at the culture that Mark Stoops has built there. And I think with John Sumrall, he's moved on to a different role, a different program, the right way, first class, mentioning John Schlarman. But I mean, we all expected that.
Yeah.
The outpouring of support to John Sumrall from media, from us, from players, from coaches, just goes to show you what type of dude that he is. I mean, he's loved. Mm-hmm. By players, coaches, everybody. And I wish him nothing but the best, but I really like the fact that he wants to get that 10th win for his players. He started something, and he's going to finish it. And I think that is tremendous. Nick, what are we hearing about Wandell Robinson?
I mean, I haven't heard anything concrete, but I'm guessing he is going to play. Have you heard anything about him potentially coming back for another year?
I have not. I Lonnie Demery had the tweet, the scoop. but I don't think that decision has been made yet. It's going to factor greatly about what his grade comes back from the NFL Draft Advisory Committee. And if he gets the right projection in the draft, then I can see him leaving. But with the days of name, image, and likeness,
yeah,
he can make – yeah, he can make just as much money as a low-round pick by staying in Lexington and working on a few things and putting a few more things on film for the draft for next year. So we'll see. But Andy touched on a good point. Kentucky averaged over 500 yards per game offensively in November. Now, granted, you have to count three bad defenses in Louisville, Vanderbilt, New Mexico State, but still –
The numbers are the numbers.
Was peaking, man. It was really just the pinnacles getting there, and numbers are numbers. And I like the way that Will Levis and Lane Cohen finished out the season. It's just tremendous to watch Levis's growth.
Dane Brugler from The Athletic, he produces this enormous, he calls it the beast, this enormous draft guide each year. He's one of the big guys, like him and Daniel Jeremiah, they're the big draft evaluators. And he actually has Will Levis as the seventh quarterback up there, which is probably higher than I expected. I still think ultimately the nil and stuff. And also only starting in 13, 14 games as a college quarterback is going to bring him back for another year. But that kind of shows you what people think of his tools. And man, yeah, you know, he can have a big time offseason if he, you know, he's doing the steady climb. And make no mistake about it, as bad as Iowa's offense is, they got a good defense. And if Levis
can
put up some solid numbers once again and kind of use his legs to keep him off balance a little bit, that he could be a preseason All-SEC quarterback type candidate going into 2022.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about that, Nick, that I agree that Will Levis could be a Heisman hopeful going into 2022, especially if he has some parts returning around him, Chris Rodriguez Jr., Lavelle Wright, Lavoisier Smoke, I mean, McClain, there's some running backs around him. Plus, you get back Keaton Upshaw, the tight end, mm-hmm. go along with Isaiah Cummings and Jordan Dingle and Brendan Bates. The receiver position, this is a big weekend, Nick, and I want you to get into that just in a second. Andy, but I think this game turns down to turnovers. Iowa has produced a ton of them at plus 14 turnover margin. Kentucky's a minus 13 turnover margin. I don't think I've ever analyzed a game where the gap has been so wide for two teams in the turnover margin. This game, the Citrus Bowl, could come down to can Kentucky protect the football?
No doubt about it. The last few games, we've been better. I think some of that's mental. I think, and it's sometimes confidence and pressing a little bit, but I don't know. I think something I didn't mention before in this game, yes, they do lead the country and have, I guess, for a couple of years in turnover margin. But the speed factor, I think the biggest difference I've seen in our football team in the last 3, 4, 5 years is our speed matches SEC speed, where we never did. And I still don't think the Big Ten across the board matches speed. Ohio State, yes. Michigan now is in the upper echelon, and they'll be there for a while. But I still don't think their speed will match our speed across the board. I mean, I don't see it. I don't see it happening. And the turnovers, I think we've overcome that. I think we're moving in the right direction on the turnover side.
Turnovers for Iowa, 24 interceptions, 6 fumble recoveries. That's incredible for a team to have that. Nick Rouse, this is a very important weekend for Kentucky recruiting-wise. Mm-hmm. Signing day is 6 days away, and it's got here in a hurry. Nick, talk to us about this weekend and the importance that it could have on the early national signing day.
Well, the way things have changed in recruiting because of the early signing day and the transfer portal too, but you only really have 2 weekends now to host official visitors, and a lot of those guys have pushed them up. But it's a nice little hodgepodge of folks they have. It's the last weekend. Signing day is 6 days away. So they're bringing in all the big dogs, and some of them are committed players. That's like we're going to build a good relationship. And you know what? They're going to try to bring in some other guys as well. Guys in the transfer portal. Tavion Robinson, he's a receiver from Virginia Tech who has produced some phenomenal tape, Freddie. Like, I don't know how much you've watched of him. He is a fun player to watch. He's a returner. And he also, he does things that if you lose Wandale, it's not – you aren't completely reliant on Chauncey Magwood, who just finished his first season, or Dekel Crowdis, who wasn't able to play at all this year. That could be a big get. Chris Bogle is another one who – he actually went to high school with Nick Scalzo and Nick Ogenovich, who were signees in 2019. And they have since transferred from UK, but he was the most talented player on their state championship team, top 50 guy. I think he's got something like 7.5 tackles for loss in 3 years at Florida. He could be a big get to help alleviate the pain you're going to have when Josh Pascal's gone. And he's not the only Florida guy. They're trying to flip an offensive lineman that's currently committed to Florida, who's a big tackle, Jalen Farmer. And there's another guy they're working on to flip, Jacoby Albert, who's committed to Auburn in August. That was a John Summerall recruit. And Summerall's been working at him, and now it's time for – Liam Cohen and Scott Woodward to kind of close the deal last year or this weekend. So you can get a lot of commitments in a hurry. You can get some big signing day splashes. The biggest one, Andy, Deion Walker, he is the size of Jordan Davis right now. He's 6'7", 350-pound defensive lineman who from Detroit too. And those Detroit guys, they've turned out pretty well for UK. Even though Clint left, Wolford's been working on that guy hard, and he's going to announce Kentucky got the last official visit. They're going up against Georgia and Michigan, two college football playoff teams. If you can land that guy on signing day over two college football playoff teams from Detroit. Kentucky can have not only a top 15 class, they could be messing around that top 10 territory and be the biggest story in all of college football recruiting on National Signing Day. Them and Texas A&M making a splash at number one. So it's a very big weekend, and now it's time for Stoops to get on his become the closer, man. Seal the deal.
This recruiting thing with us has just been off the chain fun to me. I mean, these guys that are coming in this weekend wouldn't open our mail 10 years ago, wouldn't open the mail. And
yeah,
it's insane that we have a kid on campus this weekend and he's deciding between us and two playoff teams. Is that, if that is not a measurable for Stoops and the progress, that is awesome. And whatever we are doing in recruiting is in the top 10 regardless, because these kids come away from here so impressed, and we tug at their heartstrings. I mean, we are making an impression on these guys, and it's so fun as a former player and a fan to watch. And the likes of these kids that are coming through here now that, it's crazy. And I follow recruiting. I don't follow stats and all that stuff. I just follow the buzz more than anything, just because I enjoy seeing it. Mm-hmm. And not to compare, but you look at some of the schools around us and who they're bringing on campus. And
bringing on campus, it matters, though.
That is no comparison. None.
It matters. Close. You might not see it next year, but you'll see it 2 and 3 years down the road.
Yeah.
And it also matters, too, who you're beating for these guys. You're cleaning up the state of Kentucky. And, Freddie, you've got two Mr. Footballs from the state of Tennessee. Two.
Three. I thought we had three.
Well, King lost to his little brother, so you know he couldn't.
I mean, I'll say three. I'm taking three to the bank. I mean, in Greater Nashville, I mean,
gosh,
yeah.
Who would have dreamt this? And
yeah,
back when we hired Stoops, I tell all my friends, I live an hour from. I can be in my parking spot in an hour and 10 minutes, and all I want to do is be excited on Saturday morning to go to Lexington to watch us play competitive football with a chance to win every football game. And that's where we are right now. And that is just awesome. And yeah, we're talking about losing guys to the NFL. We're talking about the portal guys coming from the likes of Virginia Tech and, you know, Syracuse and potentially Florida wanting to come to Kentucky in the portal. I mean, that's insane. That is insane.
Kentucky right now hasn't been hurt by the portal as far as exiting. KD McDaniel was a little bit surprising because he was contributing.
And he was coming along, Freddie. I kind of wanted to see him stick it through, you know.
Yeah, and I think players like KD McDaniel are, as far as transfers, are going to be the ones that hurt programs, not just Kentucky, but across the board as far as depth.
Yeah.
Especially in bowl season, because – and he was coming along, J.J. Weaver being on a pitch count, Jordan Wright being injured for the majority of the season. K.D. McDaniel was playing some meaningful snaps and I thought was developing nicely. And then he opts to go into the transfer portal. I think right now of the ones that are exiting, he's the one that will be felt the most. But I still don't think Kentucky's been hurt by an outgoing transfer yet. We got a long way to go. This portal is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Nick, Keontae Goodwin, Kentucky, is going to have to hold on for him. He's visiting. He's visited. He's taking his full allotment of 5 official visits. I think it's his last one this weekend somewhere.
Yeah. And Mark Stoops is going to visit him Friday morning before he's supposed to go to Michigan State.
Yeah.
I think Stoops might convince him not to.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think it's one of those things too, Freddie. When you're going after big fish, you got to have a bigger tackle box, you know. So you're going to be dealing with some more stuff. But ultimately, I've become pretty close with Keontae and his crew over there, and I'm 99.9% sure that on signing day he's going to be putting pen to paper and signing with the University of Kentucky.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about it. But there's going to be a lot of stuff and. That's kind of part of the recruiting game, you know, and that's just
it is.
That's just what you kind of deal with, you know.
And I think Chris Bond does just tremendous work there at Aspirations Gym in Louisville. And, you know, I think, you know, Keontae visiting places maybe is Keontae's way of, I mean, I have no knowledge of this, saying, giving exposure to Aspirations and his fellow, you know, and that's the conscientious, that is the caring person that Goodwin is. But
it helps, it helps everybody over there. You know?
It does. And I think that's a good thing.
Well, and it might not be for UK, though, because I know Michigan State's really high on the Spencer kid that you talked about last week, who's a stud at male, and UK is as well. So that's, you know, it's going to be a nice little recruiting battle. But that's to your point. That's part of the recruiting game. There is a trickle-down effect. When you got coaches coming in your gym, they see everybody there. You know, it's like the sixth guy at IMG, you know, still. Like, that's kind of what they've developed over there at Aspirations.
What do you think about Morrow and Stoops going, hey, you know, we want to lock you up, but we also appreciate you going out and making our signing day look that much better when you do stay, because you just walked off of Michigan State's campus. You were on Michigan's campus last weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, Morrow is a genius. And, you know, signing day, the first thing he's going to say is, yeah, we just beat out Michigan State. He's going to beat that drum as loud as he can. I think he gets these kids on his team, man. I think it's that father figure that these kids, man, they hug him, they whisper in his ear, they're on that dude's hip, and they, I don't know what it is. We know what it is about him. He's a true leader. He is real to those kids, and so many of these guys out there aren't. I mean, look at. Who did Brian Kelly hug and kiss 2 weeks ago for Notre Dame as a recruit? You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, some of these guys out there are scumbags. I mean, you know, the guy at Oklahoma, Riley. I mean, how many babies did he kiss 2 weekends ago? You know, I mean, Stoops and Morrow are real, and these kids can see right through the guys that are not. And, you know, I'd say Harbaugh's real, and I'd say the guy at Michigan State's fairly real, but his name was mentioned in a lot of these job openings, and there are not two more real guys than Mark Stoops and Vince Morrow now.
And to your point too, Andy, just quickly, Freddie, Stoops isn't big on theatrics, but he will pull him out for signing day. You know, like Octavius Oxnard picks Kentucky over Tennessee in the middle of press conference. Oh, just got some good news, and starts passing out new sheets of new signees. You know, like. They will pull out the theatrics to make big signing day splash. And Freddie, Kentucky can, they might end up being the story on signing day.
Yeah, absolutely. And Nick, I just want to finish up on Louisville recruiting and just talk about the job that Chris Fawn has done in that city, and not just in that city, but outside, you know, Wondell Robinson, Frank from Frankfort, et cetera.
Carrington Valentine from Cincinnati.
He does a tremendous, tremendous job helping develop these kids as far as preparing them, working them out and doing everything. And it's just not football with them. It's about life. And I'm a big fan of Chris Fawn.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Quickly, let's get into the SEC bowl picks. And with the premise that both teams want to be there, let's make some picks.
Okay.
All right. I mean, okay, that they want to be there and everything's
– Yeah. Oh.
It's a football game.
I'm also just – there's some teams, some SEC teams I know that are going to want to be there that I'm already – I was placing my bets today in Indiana just to make sure I got them at a good line. So I'm ready for this.
Well, since Ohio just did their sports gambling thing, now Kentucky is surrounded by states that says it's okay to bet on sports, and Kentucky does not. Let's go first up, Alabama versus Cincinnati in the playoff. Who you got, Andy?
Cover or win?
just win. Let's just go straight. Just win.
You know, Bama's going to win that football game. You see, Luke Fickle is as good a coach as there is in America. But I think this is a tall order for Cincinnati. And it looks like Nick Saban's got Bama playing like Bama, just at the perfect time.
Yeah.
That's a tall order. It's not impossible for Cincinnati to win that game, though, but I think it's a pretty tall order. I'm going to go Bama.
To your point, is Fickle really got those guys up for that Georgia game last year? And, you know, he had a good football team on the ropes down in the Peach Bowl. But I think Saban didn't just get Alabama going. He got Bryce Young going. And when you got quarterback playing like a difference maker, I mean, Freddie, he was – doing option pitches 12 yards down the field, you know, like that's when you know he's at a different level. Cincinnati can't contain that.
Well, no offense to that effort last year for UC, but Georgia was butthurt being in the Peach Bowl. Let's face
yeah,
it.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, they were. Yeah,
Georgia was down. Georgia had what, 8-9 starters that were either quote unquote injured or opted out for that game. So that's not a game to judge. I will say this: Cincinnati has a bunch of pros, and now the schedule. But there are a bunch of pros on that two deep for Cincinnati. They're better than you think, but I'll take Bama, Georgia, Michigan. Nick, who you got?
Georgia. I'm worried though about the mailman. Like, are we going to end up getting JT Daniels coming out for a reprise role? I don't know, but I think Michigan. Their magic, their Super Bowl was beating Ohio State. And I think that – I don't know how much they more explosive they can be. So, yeah, I'm taking Georgia.
Andy.
Yeah, I like Georgia there too. Georgia wants that rematch.
yeah, real bad. And real bad, Freddie.
Georgia, you know, that championship game was a shocker, man. I love Nick Saban, but I thought this was the year Georgia would get them. So they, you know, unless it's a mental thing, but they're not going to slip on Michigan. They want to play Alabama again.
I'm going to go Michigan.
Oh.
I think the Wolverines get it done against Georgia. The quarterback situation, I just think Michigan's got momentum. Georgia got punched in the mouth and now on their heels. I think the Bulldogs got a little cute with their substitution patterns throughout the season, especially on defense, and didn't know how to play when the team punched them back. So I may change on this one. I will take the option to change in our final podcast.
Of course.
The bowl season.
Of course.
But right now, initial picks, I'm taking Michigan. Ole Miss at Baylor.
Oh,
or versus Baylor.
Just can't – I can't get more excited for Ole Miss to beat Baylor than – I mean, take my money now. Give it back to me on New Year's Day. Ole Miss.
I got Ole Miss. Andy, who you got?
I'm going to stick with the SEC too.
Yeah,
I will say that Baylor game was nutty.
Ole Miss is, man, they're playing some good football.
Matt Corral too, like not even getting invited to that ceremony. He's going to go and have 600 yards and 5 touchdowns. Like, they're going to kill him.
Yeah. Kentucky, Iowa. I'll start this off. I'm taking Kentucky to win this football game.
The same here. It's going to take a lot of turnovers, Andy, for me to – think that Iowa can win this football game.
Yeah, I think I love Kentucky in this game. These kids love Mark Stoops, and they're gonna deliver for him.
Yeah, he wants it bad, and they want it bad for him.
Yep, Darian Kennard and those guys, they're gonna deliver for Stoops big time.
Mississippi State, Texas Tech. I'll take Mississippi State in this one.
Man, this is really intriguing though, because you know it's the Mike Leach Bowl. It's his former team. And
the Liberty Bowl.
Texas Tech has a lot of mojo right now with their new coaching hire, the new coaches. They still aren't good enough, though, up against – I mean, Will Rogers was playing unbelievable at the end of the year. But it's going to be a fun game. I'll tell you that, Andy. I ultimately think Rogers is going to get it done for him.
I'm going to go with Freddie's who wants to be here theory. Michigan or Mississippi State is not happy being in Memphis. I think Texas Tech gets the W.
That's good. That could be a good call. Yeah. I like
they
that.
Are not. They are not. It's kind of like Tennessee going to Nashville. They are not happy.
The Duke's Mayo Bowl in Charlotte. South Carolina versus North Carolina. Nick, who you got?
Man, there's just no talent on that South Carolina roster. If Sam Howell plays, North Carolina is just running away with it. But yeah. I don't that's the ultimate. We don't, you know, we're not going to know until, you know, the week of. Either way, we all win if somebody gets doused in mayo. So North Carolina does have more talent, though. And I think ultimately, even if they don't have Howell, they can come away with a win.
I'll go in North Carolina here as well. Andy?
South Carolina. I like he's going to have those guys. That I love that. I love Beamer's attitude, man.
You like Beamer? He's a rah-rah guy. And he's an emotional guy.
You know what? Does North Carolina have more talent than Florida?
That's true.
That was a rah-rah job and a half.
Yeah. The Music City Bowl. Tennessee versus Purdue. Nick, I have a feeling, man, I know where you're going in this one.
I'm very worried about the opt-outs, though, Freddie, the potential opt-outs, because David Bell and George Karlaftis, they're – a few players impact their team individually as much as those two guys do. If they play, I think Purdue can win because Aiden O'Connell handles the pressure well. Tennessee, their defense is so bad, they're just going to – all right, we got nothing else to do. We're just going to bring seven, and Purdue's going to pick them apart. But I worry – nobody loves – fake offseason momentum more than that stupid fan base down there south of the border. So I'm worried, Freddie. I really want Purdue to win it, but I am worried about the Vols if Purdue gets the opt-outs.
I'm thinking Purdue gets a lot of the opt-outs. This is the Tennessee Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You want to get that momentum going for Josh Heupel. It's going to be a home game for the Vols. I'm taking UT, Andy.
I think Purdue gives them – a hell of a football game because Purdue got boat raced the last time they were down there.
Who it was beat, bad. Got, it was Auburn. Beaten by a million. It was bad.
And Brahms got some guts, and that ain't happening again. So it'll be an interesting game. And here's another one. Do you really think the team is excited to go to Nashville? The fans are, because that's a party.
Yeah.
Players think they ought to be, isn't this funny, in the citrus where you spell citrus with UT in the old Steve Spurrier days, and the Cats are sitting in the citrus and they're sitting in Nashville. They either respond one of two ways. They come out and want to make a statement, or they go in there with their feelings hurt and Purdue gives them all they want. So I'm going to give the edge. I'm going to take Brown.
Love it.
Just because he got boat raced, he's not going to get beat down there again like that.
Yeah. Gator Bowl. Texas A&M versus Wake Forest. This is a classic. Who wants to be their game? A&M, disappointing end of the season. Wake Forest, I don't think is.
I'm going to go A&M here. The ACC is terrible, fellas. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Well, and U of L should have beat Clemson. Think about that. U of L was terrible last weekend, and they should have beat Clemson. Wake Forest ain't going to beat Texas A&M.
I'm on A&M here.
I think, too, that when you talk about that offseason momentum stuff, this matters. And A&M, they're riding high right now. They feel invincible. And I think that momentum is going to carry over. Wake Forest is sputtered down the stretch, and they can't handle Texas A&M in the trenches. So I'm going to Aggies as well.
The ACC is awful.
How bad?
I mean, come on, man. I mean, I didn't get to be on your podcast last week, but I wanted them to add three quarters and keep playing. That's how much I was like, is there any way we can add quarters to this? Because the ACC, they are awful. Awful.
The Outback Bowl. Arkansas versus Penn State.
Love this game. Love it. Can't wait. It's a shame that it's happening at the same time as the Citrus Bowl, so I'm going to have to watch it after the fact. But like Sam Pittman, I think he said, "Woo pig, go Bloomin' Onions," to end his press conference. Arkansas fans, I believe they had their bowl game canceled last year too due to COVID. Their fans, they are going to be up. I mean, this is their best season in a long time. They finished third in the West. They're going to be ready to play this football game, and I think they're going to run it right down James Franklin's throat.
Yeah, I will take Arkansas here, Andy.
I am too. I don't like James Franklin, and I can't imagine Pittman likes him. Yeah. I mean, Pittman.
They are cut from two different claws, Andy.
They're two different breeds of cat, and Pittman will just – he will get after them.
Well, Penn State 7-5. You know, yeah, I'm thinking
Arkansas will get after their butt.
Mm-hmm. The Texas Bowl. Now, this one is really who wants to be there and who's left. LSU, or what a version of LSU, is playing Kansas State in the Texas Bowl.
Man.
I'm taking Kansas State here all day.
Yeah, especially their coach there. I like that guy. He came from one of the Dakotas. I get those two mixed up, either North Dakota State, South Dakota State. And then – meanwhile, at LSU, Brian Kelly, he's kind of struggling to find guys. You got Max Johnson in the portal. Yeah, it's a mess down there.
He won't coach the bowl game, really.
I don't think so, yep. No. I'm guessing Coach O's coaching it. I don't know. Who knows who's coaching?
Well, here's the deal with LSU. Quarterback Johnson opts out or transfers. LSU now has to burn the red shirt of a quarterback to play in this game. A ton of LSU's top talent were, I'll go again, quote unquote, injured, and will certainly opt out. And then you got Ricks that's transferring out. That's a mess down there in Baton Rouge. I'm taking Kansas State.
Man,
yeah,
still gonna be a fun bowl season, though.
I will say Kansas State as well.
Gonna be a fun bowl season. We've got Army Navy first, though. Freddie, Navy gonna win?
Oh no. All right, the Armed Forces Bowl, Missouri versus Army. This is going to be a beatdown. Army is going to destroy Missouri. Missouri, one of the worst, if not the worst, rush defenses in college football. Army's going to pound them.
So, at what – you think Army can get 600 rushing yards in this game, Freddie?
700, yes.
I really think they can get to 600. I mean, Kentucky got almost 4 against them, and they were passing it some against Missouri. So,
yeah,
that's going to be ugly.
I'm going Army because I lost. The only bet I made this fall was Army beating Wake Forest because Wake Forest rush defense was god awful as well, and Wake Forest pummeled them. So hopefully that they turn the tides on it. But I'll go Army.
Nick?
Oh, yeah. Army's going to win by a million. Made that bet today as well, too.
Gasparilla Bowl. Here's another who wants to be there the most, and I have one is the Golden Knights of Central Florida. It's Florida Gators versus Central Florida in the Gasparilla Bowl. Who you got, Nick?
This one's tough because, Central Florida kind of stinks. And there's also if you're Florida, I think you have enough pride that you don't want to lose to the directional school. And they seem to like Napier, even though you got a lot of kids decommitting. So I'm finding a tough time handicapping this one. But I'm just going to say Central Florida for now. Suck it, Florida.
Where's this game played?
Tampa.
Boy.
So you're getting it kind of right in the middle of all of it.
You know, I'll take Central Florida.
Yeah, I'm going to go different. I'm going to go Florida because we saw Florida beat Florida State and showed some pride there at the end of the year. So I think the Gators get it done. The last one, the Birmingham Bowl, you're talking about really not wanting to be there. Auburn versus Houston. Houston was 10-1 going – or what, 11-1 going into the whatever championship game against Cincinnati. Got beat 35-20. Auburn play Bama tough, so that's a good sign.
But that's Bama, Freddie.
Yeah.
It's not Houston.
Yeah, so I don't know who you got, guys.
Man, Auburn – Auburn don't want to be there.
Dude, that's the ultimate kick in the crotch. Auburn has to play in Birmingham for a bowl game
at Legion Field.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, that's a punishment. That's not a reward.
That's embarrassing.
They're going to take him to like the local Belk because they're like big reward. You get to go on a shopping spree at a department store. Like,
the game's at 11 a.m. Central Time for all.
Gosh, yeah.
Breakfast will be at the Golden Corral. I mean,
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to go Tigers here. I'm going to go Auburn.
Wow. You know what? You have to go Auburn because they have to win that game. If they lose that football game, they'll run that guy out on the rail, man. I'll pick Auburn, but that's the embarrassment bowl.
Yeah.
Let's go Cougs. Let's go Cougs.
All right, Army-Navy. Andy, you better go Army. I'm going Army. Nick, I hope you go Army as well.
Oh, I'll be going Army, just under 35 and a half.
Yeah, is that what it is, the under?
Yeah. I think I got it at 36 maybe, but is the forecast – we got any snow in the forecast in East Rutherford? Have they done it in the Meadowlands before? I feel like this is kind of new.
Normally it's in Philadelphia, but it has been in the Meadowlands before, I think. But yeah,
gotcha.
Normally the game's in Philadelphia. So yeah, I'm taking Army all day long. So we're going to win again this year, and we're going to win in convincing fashion. Well, gentlemen, thank you for being on the podcast. I hope everybody likes it. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Andy, thanks for coming back on. We've missed you the last couple of weeks. Appreciate you taking time away from Murray Promotions to get to jump on here with us, my man.
I just breaks my heart that I couldn't be on the Louisville podcast. can we just say some more stuff about that game? Again, I was sitting here with my son going, can we just add three quarters? Please let's play three more quarters.
I do have one final question for both of you guys, and I'll go after. Darren Kennard, consensus All-American, two-time All-American, first team All-SEC. Andy, I'll start with you since you go back further. Where does Darren Kennard rank as far as offensive lineman in Kentucky football history?
You know, he's got to be right there with I don't know a lot of the older guys older than us, but as far as guys I've watched and played with, he's right there with Dermani, I guess. I mean, he's pretty good. I mean, have we had a first rounder in the offensive line?
No.
I don't recall a first rounder. We've had Dermani was second round. Can you recall first round? What was
Warford was first round, was he not?
No, he was like
third. I think he was second or third. And Todd Perry wasn't that high.
I think Todd was third round.
They've all been interior guys too. That's what makes him different. Is Kentucky hasn't had an offensive tackle like Kennard.
Well, and there you go, man. You talk about a premier offensive lineman. The tackle is, I mean, they're the premier guys, man. And we haven't had.
For me, I think you got to go all the way back to Warren Bryant during the Kersey years to find a comparison. Because Andy said Dermani Dawson would. Dermani was a great pro. He was great at UK, but he was only a second team All-ACC guy.
Right.
Wasn't an All-American like Kennard. So I think you have to go back to Warren Bryant days to have a comparison for Darren Kennard. And it's almost going under the radar because it's been expected for Kennard to play at that level.
And he's done it consistently. And where's he from, Andy?
What's that?
And where's he from, too?
Oh, Knox Vegas. That's beautiful.
Knoxville, Tennessee. Gosh.
Yeah. That's just awesome.
Real shame Dermani, he didn't end up in Tennessee.
Dermani, Dermani probably was a little undersized, but he reinvented the center position. Dermani's the first center. I heard this on a telecast one night. I don't know. It was a Monday night telecast or something, but saying he was the first center in the NFL history to pull.
Yeah.
They used to lead a sweep with Dermani, and now you're seeing more centers pull in the NFL. But now he kind of set the standard. You have to be able to pull if you're going to play center because of Dermani Dawson. I mean, you talk about adding to your playbook, having your center pull.
Yeah.
But Kennard, the one thing about Kennard that's amazing to me is I physically stood next to him at a golf outing this summer, and I don't think I've been next to a bigger man from a standpoint of front to back girth and side to side girth. I mean, that guy is a mountain of a man.
Those golf clothes make him look even bigger too.
Oh, it was, the dude is frightening. I mean, just seeing him come out of the tunnel, man, he is a frightening figure. I mean, he's a big boy.
Speaking of centers, Kentucky Iowa is going to feature two really good ones. Tyler Linderbaum, first team All-American, the highest graded center in the history of PFF. And then first team All-ACC, our guy, Luke Fortner. So a lot of high-level center play. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. Nick, I look forward to next week's signing date with you, and hopefully we have some good stuff to report on.
We'll have plenty to discuss, plenty to talk about, plenty on KentuckySportsRadio.com.
Be good, guys.
All right. See ya. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate everybody, and go program.